Appreciate your prayers this morning. Not feeling so well in body, but I'm blessed in my soul, and I'm thankful for that. Appreciate all that God does for us. I'd like to consider a few encouraging things this morning out of the Word of God. The song we sang said, "What a mighty God we serve." And I'm thankful that we have a mighty God to serve. Thankful to have the privilege not only to serve Him, but to know Him. And to have Him as our own personal Lord and Savior. As our own friend and helper. Thinking about God this week and how faithful and how good He is to mankind, to you and I. Job, I believe it was, made the comment, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And if you've lived any time at all in this world, I'm sure you found that to be so. One thing we can count on, that we're going to have our difficulties and struggles in life. But I'm glad that we don't have to go that way alone. I'm glad there's someone that cares about us. I was thinking a lot this past week about getting God's attention. But I think more importantly, I'd like to consider the thought about God's intervention for you and I. If you have your Bibles, I want to read a few verses of Scripture in the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46, begin at the first verse. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." That sounds like a pretty serious thing for the mountains to be removed, doesn't it? And be carried into the midst of the sea. But he said, "Therefore we will not fear, though these things happen." Then he said, "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her," and that right early. You know, nothing more comfortable to you and I here in this world than when we get in trouble or we begin to have struggles and things don't go the way that we'd like for them or need for them to go, it seems like, that there's someone that cares. There's someone that understands. Not only do they care, not only does he understand, but he's able to do something about it. He's able to make things change in our life. Now, he allows you and I to go through difficulties and troubles and afflictions and sicknesses, whatever he might allow to come our way, but it's for the benefit. There's a benefit to it. There's a spiritual benefit to it if we'll look for it. Because God is interested in you and I, but he's interested in the spiritual man, the eternal man. And he has a way of going about things in your life and in my life to help us to accomplish that. And I'm thankful for that today. It says there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. And I think of the church this morning and how that in the world that we live in today and how things are changing, and it seems like that the devil is working as about as hard as I've ever seen him work in my time, and how he's trying to cause the trouble that he can among us and among God's people. I'm glad to know this morning that God is in the midst. And I'm thankful to know that He is there where we can lean on Him and trust Him. I thought about the scripture coming to service this morning where Paul said our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is of God. How many of you feel like that you can handle life? You can handle the things that come your way every day alone. I don't think any of us can. I don't think any of us can conquer the things that we have to deal with in life alone. I believe we need God in order to be able to do that. And I'm glad that the Bible tells us not only is God a great God and He's a merciful God and a loving God, but He's a God that cares and He's going to be with us. He said, a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I think of another one here in the 10th verse of this same chapter. It says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Seems like one of the hardest things sometimes for us to do is to be still. Sometimes God puts us in places where we don't have much choice but just to be still and listen. And to hear the sweet voice that He has to speak to our hearts. Be still, He said, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the brethren. I will be exalted in the earth. God is going to lift up His name. He will be exalted. He said, I said brethren, didn't I? I will be exalted among the heathen. Even the heathen shall know and see that He is God, and that He is all-powerful and almighty God. I will be exalted in the earth. I take courage this morning in the scriptures in knowing that God is in control. We look around us, we see all kinds of troubles and problems and sorrows, and that's just the thing that we ought not to do is just look at those things. We need to look upon God, don't we? He said, be still and know that I am God. And I'd like to just mention the help of the Lord this morning, a few things that the Bible gives us about God and how that He has worked in the affairs and in the lives of men and how that He has worked with His people. I'd like for us to consider some things this morning. I want us to turn over to Exodus, the 14th chapter. And I'm just going to read a couple verses here, beginning at verse 21. But it's about the children of Israel. God had made a promise to Abraham. We know the old story and how that He had promised that through his seed, basically, God was going to raise up a church. He's going to raise up a people that would follow Him, worship Him, and love Him. And I'm thankful today that, you know, God does just what He says. And He's able to do it in the face of all adversity that the enemy might bring against Him. The children of Israel found themselves in bondage 400 years down in Egypt, and God prepared Moses to bring them out of bondage. And I think about the little things that God is able to use in order to do what He wants to do with mankind. The little things. Remember when Moses was up there in the mountain and God presented Himself to him and began to talk to him and told him what He wanted him to do. He even saw a bush burning that wasn't being consumed by fire. And the Lord told Moses that He wanted him to go back to Egypt and He wanted to bring his children out of bondage. And he had all kinds of questions, all kinds of things going through his mind. And you know, basically, Lord, how am I supposed to do all this? Who am I? How am I supposed to do all this? And God said to him, what do you got in your hand? What is that in your hand? Well, He said, it's a rod. Just the little things. I want us to think about some little things here for a minute. Well, it's a rod. It's what, you know, a walking stick. It's what we use up here in the mountains. It's what we use to tend sheep with. It's just a stick. He said, what is it? He said, I got a rod in my hand. And God said, throw it down on the ground. We know what happened, don't we? Turned into a serpent. He took that rod, and that rod became quite a powerful instrument in His hand. When He went back to the land of Egypt and the God sent the plagues over there. It was just throw down the rod and the rod there, and God, there was power in the rod. God was in the rod. And God was there to bless and help mankind. Just take the rod and go back to Egypt. So I want to read here, it's where the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. And the Egyptians were following after them and chasing after them with their army and their chariots. And it says in verse 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind at that night, all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." Now, what did God use? He used what I would kind of consider a small thing. He didn't develop a big army to go out against the children of Israel. He didn't tell the children of Israel to turn around and fight. The call was, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. And whenever he stretched out his hands over the water like the Lord told him to, it said there was a strong east wind. I'm thankful for the strong east winds. I've had those east winds come in my life. I've had God send the east winds to help me in my struggles, my trials, and my problems many times down through my life. One of my main prayers to the Lord is to thank him for all the many times that he has heard and answered prayer. All the burdens that he's lifted. Lord, look, folks, look back on your life. Look back on the challenges that you've had. The Lord's brought us to this day. The Lord brought the children of Israel to the Red Sea. He wasn't going to let them perish. He didn't forget about them. He's an almighty God, and he cared about his people, and he made a way. The Lord will always make a way for you and I. And we need to be encouraged. That's what I want to do this morning, is encourage us. God is going to make a way when things look like they're so dismal or destitute or just, I don't know how I'm going to work through this thing. God will make a way. He will be a very present help in time of trouble. He sent a strong east wind. Now, who would have thought? Anybody here would have thought this is how God's going to deliver his children? But he sent a strong east wind, and this wind that came down, that God sent, was designed to a certain place, a certain area. It divided the waters, made a wall on both sides, and dried up the ground. He sent a strong east wind, folks, in behalf of his children to deliver them from the Egyptians. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Put yourself in those in their place when the enemy is behind them and there's mountains on both sides and the sea's in front of them, no place for them to go. And God sent a strong east wind. Sent a wind from the east, and it dried up the ground that the children of Israel could go across. Folks, he makes a way. Old Sister Lambert, remember her? She used to say, God will make a way where there ain't no way. He'll make a way where there ain't no way. When we can't see it, our humanity fails us, shows us the weakness that we are, the weak vessels that we are. He'll make a way where there ain't no way. He'll send something along. He may send the hornets. He may send whatever he wants to send. But God will make a way for his people. God is in the midst of her, the scripture said that we read this morning. God is in the midst, and he was in the midst of his people. He didn't bring the children of Israel out of bondage. He didn't go through all that with Moses to send him over there and go through all the plagues and everything and bring them out of bondage just for them to perish out there in the wilderness. He didn't go through all that just for them to perish, but God was with them and God blessed them. And it says they went on, crossed on dry ground, and there was a wall. The waters were a wall unto them on the right hand to the and to the left. That must have been quite a sight. I don't know about you, but that would have got my attention. That would have really got, and I don't think I'd have forgot that for a few days. I think I'd have been looking back on that and meditating on that and saying to myself, wow, ain't God great? Didn't God do something wonderful for us? God moved on the elements. His water, His wind, everything there was His, and He moved on those things to deliver His people. And He will continue to do that for you and I today as long as we stay humble and faithful and true to Him. Folks, He will send the east wind, whatever it takes, to deliver you out of your problems and out of your troubles. And He'll even send His Son, won't He? He even sent His Son because He so loved the world. And His Son gave His life for you and I. I think I'll read the rest of this here. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and touched the host, troubled the host of the Egyptians. Took off the chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You know, when the Lord is fighting your battles, the enemy has to flee. He has to flee. When the Lord is fighting your battles, folks, if you're looking to God and you see His great power and His great might, The devil, the fears, the doubts, the things that the devil, instruments that the devil uses to come and get you and against you, and they've got to flee. Because when God comes down and He's in the midst, it dispels all darkness. But it brings everything to light and understanding. And that's what God did for the children of Israel. But I just quickly want to mention some other things. The little things. I believe it was Zechariah over there said something about who shall despise the day of small things. The little things. You got some big issue that you're dealing with today. Folks, let me tell you, God can take a little thing and work it out for you. Remember when Samson was a judge over Israel in his day? And remember when the Philistines, the enemy of God's people, would come against him? Remember that jawbone? That little jawbone that Samson took in his hand and killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of an ox. Just a jawbone. And God used that. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he took that jawbone and he went out there and destroyed the enemies of the Lord. Just a jawbone. Who would have thought, huh? Who would have thought? Think about David. When the children of Israel were standing before the Philistines and they were trembling and shaking in their boots because of Goliath, nobody was willing to go out and fight him, and he was mocking them and making fun of them and their God. And God had prepared a little boy come up against the lion and the bear, and he prepared this little boy, and he gave him courage, and he went, and he took five smooth stones, and put them in a bag, and went out there with a sling to face the giant. Well, I tell you, I'm guilty. I think we've all been guilty in the past to look on something and see the magnitude of it. And let it overwhelm us and let it discourage us. But I want to tell you this morning, I want to encourage you this morning, folks. Five little smooth stones, and he only needed one of them. And when he slung that stone, God directed it, didn't he? And the enemy of the Lord was destroyed that day, and the Philistines ran from the presence of the children of Israel. I don't know how God's going to do. I'm not going to stand here and tell you how God's going to work out your problem. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that this isn't going to happen and that isn't going to happen. But I am here to tell you by the word of the Lord that God's going to fight for you. He's going to fight for you. He's going to deliver you. Because He promised He would, folks. God keeps His promises. I think about another instance. Just little things. I think about a man named Elijah. When there was a dearth in the land and there was no food anywhere to be had, God sent Elijah to a little old woman, didn't he? And a widow woman. Not some rich woman, but just a little old widow woman that had a son. And he said he wanted something to eat. She said, all I got is a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. That's all I got. That's all she needed, wasn't it? Just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, folks, and God, and you've got the answer to your problems. That's all it takes. And God. Add God to the mix. He said, you go, and he says, she said, I'm gonna make a cake and my son gonna eat it and we're gonna die. He said, you go and make your cake and give me some first. Well, it sounds like he's pretty selfish, but that's what she did. And that flour and that oil lasted how long? Until the famine was over, folks. It fed them all through the famine. God blessed them, delivered them a little handful of flour and a little bit of oil. And God fed the prophet and he fed the widow woman and her son. Do you believe those things? I believe those things happened. And I believe they happened because God was there. God was in the midst. God had the main thing to do with this. You and I are not sufficient of ourselves. We're dependent upon God. Whenever there were 5,000 people out there to hear the word of the Lord, and it was going on evening and time to eat, and Jesus wouldn't send them away. Said, what do you got here? Well, I got 5 loaves and a few fishes. What's that going to do with 5,000 people plus women and children? What's that going to do? God magnified it. First of all, Jesus took it. I have a little object, a little lesson right here. Jesus took that and he blessed it and he looked up to God, the Father, the Creator, the Lord of Lords. I say these things to inspire your hearts this morning. He looked up to the Father and he blessed it and he broke it. And then what did he do? He gave it to the disciples to give out to the people. Do you know that's just the way the Lord blesses His people today? God takes His word and He puts anointing on it and He gives it to His ministers to hand out to the people, to give it to them, to inspire them, to encourage them, to feed their souls, to bless them, to strengthen them, to encourage them. And that's what God wanting to do this morning is encourage us. 5 loaves. And a few little fishes. And not only did it feed everybody, but there was, 12 baskets left over or 7? 12 one time and 7 another. Leftovers! Oh folks, I'm like that little Syrophoenician woman. I'm saying, Lord, that's truth, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. Lord, you give me the crumbs if that's all I can have. And I want to survive. I believe I can survive on the crumbs that fall from the Lord's table. But folks, we don't have to be satisfied with crumbs this morning. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We can have His power working in our hearts and in our lives. Just little small things. Little small things. And what's one of the smallest things of all? A little mustard seed. A little mustard seed. And Jesus told us, if your faith be as a little mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, and we just read the scripture, if the mountain's cast into the sea, God's got this. He's in control of it. And if you've got faith just as a grain of a little mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be cast into the sea. But oh no, I look on my affliction, I look on my trouble, and I say, oh Lord, I don't see any way out of this. I don't see any healing in this. But God's got it for you, and have faith in God. The little things. You have a little faith, you have a little love. You have a lot of love, you have a lot of faith, folks. Because faith worketh by love. May the Lord help us today. The little things. The day of small things. God set a plumb line, and that scripture over in Zechariah that I'm referring to, Zechariah 4 and 10, where it's the day of small things. He talked about setting a plumb line in the midst of them. God has set a plumb line in the midst of us today that you and I can be have spiritual guidance and spiritual strength and spiritual grace to overcome and have the victory over those things that the enemy brings against us, to try to destroy us and get us discouraged. Oh, I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord. I'm thankful for the strong east wind that came that day and blessed and delivered the children of Israel. How did he deliver them? Not by fighting physically with the enemy, but whenever the children of Israel, you know, God is amazing. He really is amazing. He had that cloud that was behind him, and the pillar of fire, and the Israel could see where they was going through the Red Sea, but the Egyptians behind them, because of the cloud, they couldn't see. And they were separated because of a cloud, and they never did come near the children of Israel, the Bible says. And after they got through there, the Lord caused the waters to return, didn't he? Caused the waters to return. And he fought for the children of Israel. You believe he's going to fight for you today? Folks, we need to keep ourselves in his hands. Keep ourselves in his will. Because he's going to fight for us. We have promises. The promises in the word of God. And his word is yea and amen. And I stand on that today by the grace and the love of God. I'd like to look at a scripture familiar to us, I'm sure. It's found in Proverbs, 3rd chapter. See, there's always something for you and I that we can do. He said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Trust in the Lord, folks. With all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Oh, my own understanding has failed me so many times down through my life. And the choices that I would want to make. But when I take it before the Lord in prayer, and I seek his face, and seek his will, folks, and I get his understanding, and I step out on by faith on his understanding, and what his will and purpose is for me, then I have complete victory in my soul. Folks, we can live a constant, consistent life for the Lord if we'll not lean onto our own understanding. And the Lord wants us to be consistent, doesn't he? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you believe that today? Folks, if we just acknowledge God. Oh, Lord, I got this. When this is just a little thing, I can work this out myself. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. And we'll find many times when we feel like it's just a little thing, it'll blow up pretty big in our face when we try to leave the Lord out of it. In all your ways. All of your ways. God wants to be a part of every aspect of your life. He wants to be a part of every decision that you make. He wants to be a part of your spiritual growth and understanding. He wants you and I to be humble and lowly before him. Folks, God's got enough grace for every one of us. He's got enough power for every one of us. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh, folks, I'm convinced this morning, as God give me some of these things to think about this past week, I feel like and I believe that the greater faith we have, the more he can do for us. The greater faith you have, the bigger that you see God this morning, the power and the grace that He has for you and I, the bigger that we see Him, the more faith that we can have and the more that He can do for you and I. He wants to do more. He wants to do more, folks. And He loves obedience. And He responds to obedience with His grace, doesn't He? I think about the time. Think about this picture. I'm not going to turn over to it, but it's found over in Mark. I believe it's the second chapter of Mark, right there at the beginning of the book of the chapter. It talks about Jesus being in a crowded house. There wasn't any room for anybody else to get in, and these fellows had a friend that was sick and in the bed. Remember that? And how they went to the house, they couldn't get in because of the crowd of people, but they went up on the roof. Folks, if we'll have faith in God, He's going to bless us and He's going to respond to our faith with His grace. And He told Paul His grace was sufficient. I believe it still is today. They uncovered the roof and they let the man down in his bed right there in the midst. We'll get his attention. The crowd's all around, folks. There's so much crowding out today, so much wanting to crowd things into our minds and into our thoughts. The world is wanting to crowd in among us. But folks, let's let down in the midst. Get in the midst of the Lord. Be still and know that He is God. And whatever your problem, whatever your struggle, know this morning that He is well able to take care of it. He is well able to deliver you. Oh, they let Him down. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, He did the work. First thing, though, Jesus said was, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That's the first thing He said. You see what God is really interested in each and every one of us today? Oh, there's things going to touch your life. Things that you're not going to understand. Things that's going to confuse you. Things that are going to overwhelm you. But when you take it to the Lord, He looks on and says, "Child, I love you. I care about you. But more importantly, I care about your soul. I care about eternity and where you're going to dwell in eternity." And He said to that man, He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they all marveled at that. But then He went ahead that says they were amazed. The scripture says they were amazed, and I'm trying to cut time here. It says they were amazed and they proclaimed they'd never seen anything like it. That's what it says. Never seen anything like this. And then He turned around and He healed his body. And the man got out of his bed and walked. They'd never seen anything like it. That's the way God can work. That's the way God works for us. Well, Lord, I've never seen anything like this. Well, folks, when you put God in the mix, there's going to be things that you've never seen before. He is an amazing God. He is amazing this morning. And I know that He's all powerful. He can speak to the elements. Whenever the disciples were going across the lake there and the boat and the winds came up and the boat was rocking and reeling and the water was coming into the boat, things were looking pretty bad for them. But when Jesus rose up and said, "Peace, be still," that's all it took. That was God right there with control over His elements. Everything He made, folks, He has control over it. Oh, I love that scripture. I believe it's in the 38th chapter of Job where He talks about the proud waves of the ocean, of the sea, and how they come into the seashore, and God said, "That's it." By just His perpetual word, it can't go any farther. Oh, I love to go to the ocean. I love to go and stand there and watch those waves come in, and I think about that scripture and I think about God, the hand of God, and God said, "That's it. Thy proud waves will not go any farther because God said, He's a present help, folks, in every time of trouble. If we'll just put ourselves in His hands and let Him, allow Him to work in our lives. He will help us. He will not forsake us. I'd like to consider an Old Testament scripture here about an old king, Nebuchadnezzar. And then we'll try to maybe get off. This may be off course a little bit, but we'll get back on course. The Lord seemed like he brought this fellow to mind. You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how that he was walking around and looking out over everything and got all proud and lifted up and exalted and look what I built and look what I did and I did this and I did that. Folks, be careful about the eye. Stay humble before the Lord. And God sent him out into the field. Let's see here. Verse 33 in the fourth chapter of Daniel. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men. Did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven. Mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the host of the Most High. Now this is a heathen king, wasn't he? He said, I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. God showed this man something. When his mind returned and his eyes were open after God finished with him, he said here, he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's God. I wish people today. I was booking a little clip the other day. Yeah, I'm an atheist. Oh, how long have you been an atheist? Since I was 12 years old, that person said. You've been an atheist since you was 12, huh? Yeah. Mom, Dad took me to church, taught me about Christians, but I never did see I never did see what was behind it. I never could put it together that there was a God, because I don't feel him. I don't see him. I don't know. This man found out there was a God, didn't he? And he found out on this side of eternity. Folks, there's going to be many poor souls going out into eternity unprepared to meet God, saying there is no God, and they're going to know then that there is a God. There'll be no atheists in hell, will there? They'll know then. After they've stood in the presence of God. The inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will. Folks, that tells me that whatever he permits or allows to come my way. I think of that scripture. This is the second time it's come to my mind. All things work together for good to those that love God. Not everything that come against you is going to work for your good, but God works it all together, folks. He works all the adversities that you face in life. He works it all together. If you love God, that's the secret to that verse. This man said he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And he said, at the same time, my reason returned unto me for the glory of my kingdom. Mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now we have a different man standing here now. He isn't the one that was going out admiring everything that he had done in this great kingdom that he was Lord over. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What a mighty God. What a mighty God, folks, that we truly serve today. He showed a heathen king just who he was. He showed the king who he was, and he showed him who God was, didn't he? And he had to acknowledge it. Folks, we got to acknowledge this morning. I acknowledge that there is a God that cares about every aspect of my life, that's looking down upon me. I believe we can have his full attention at all times. When we're going through our difficulties and trials, folks, when Daniel was going to be persecuted and was threatened and put into the lion's den, he had God's attention, didn't he? God sent an angel and closed the lion's mouth. He got God's attention because of his obedience, because of his willingness to do whatever he needed to do for God, whether it suffer or die. He got God's attention and God delivered him. God cares about us, folks. I want to look at another scripture now after talking about Nebuchadnezzar. I'd like to look at a scripture over in the book of Acts, 10th chapter. Here's another man, Cornelius. We all know the story of Cornelius. It says here in the 10th chapter of Acts, the 30th verse. See, it says here, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, listen to this. Thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Folks, can we get his attention? Does he care about us? Here was a man that was seeking help for his soul and for his family and his home, and he had been fasting and praying, and God and the angel came and he said, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Oh, doesn't that encourage you this morning that when you get down on your face before God, importuning prayer, seeking him, I can remember, and it doesn't happen all the time, and I understand that, but we must keep our prayer life going. We must keep ourselves before the Lord. But I remember times, and even out there with Brother Brian, I remember one time we went to prayer, and the Lord blessed and anointed me, and I mean to tell you, God came down, and he did some deliverance right there. Yes, he took Brother Rich on home. But folks, Whenever that time was over, even his wife said, honey, that was anointed. That was from God. Cornelius got a hold of God. He got a hold of God and said, a man came standing in bright clothing and said, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Folks, that's where I want to be. I want to be in the will of God, in the approval of God. Do you believe that God has blessings and provisions for us that you've never seen before? Do you believe what you experience now? And I know that there's folks here today that have experienced some real intimate relationship with God. But do you believe you got it all? Do you believe that he has more provision for you? He has more grace, more understanding, more blessings to pour out into your soul than you've ever had in your life? Folks, this is the God that I know this morning. This is the God that I serve. When we, through humility and diligence, press into the presence of God, all heaven becomes available to us. Did you know that? All of heaven becomes available to you. This man pressed into the face of God and into the sight of God, and all heaven was available. And he sent a man that first believed that the Jews weren't a part of this work, of this walk. But God even worked on Peter before he even got there, didn't he? When he got there, he said, Cornelius, God show me there ain't no man unclean before God. We all have this wonderful privilege. Cornelius was serious about what he was doing. And he pressed into the face of God. Oh, and I'm so grateful for that today. I have another scripture that I like to turn to. That was Cornelius. This is for you and I. 1 John 3:22. And whatsoever we ask, whoa, help us, Lord. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Folks, obedience is the footer for your faith. It's the footer. You lay the groundwork. You pour the footer. So whenever your faith begins to build, it cannot shift. But it stays in place. It stays before God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, folks, that's encouraging to me. It makes me want to stay humble. It makes me want to stay low. It makes me want to stay in the place that whenever I call upon God, that heaven will be moved for me. That God will hear my plea. All things work together for good to those that love God. Lord, help me this morning to have the love in my heart, to have the faith that I need, to trust you all the way in all things. No matter what it is that may change in this world. No matter what it is that may change in this life. Lord, help me to be able to trust you. We receive of him because we keep his commandments. And we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let us be more and more determined than ever before. Saints, it's critical. To me, it's critical. And the day and time that you and I are living in and the oppression of the enemy and how he is opposing God's people. I thought of the scripture over in Daniel where it said the devil is trying to scatter the power of the holy people. He's trying to wear out the patience of the saints. Folks, we're in a battle. We're in a fight, folks. But oh, I want to stay humble and be determined more and more to please God. I've been really seeking him like I haven't sought him for a long time on this line. And seeking, Lord, I want you to show me any place and every place that it would be a hindrance for me. That I would not have your presence. I want your presence. I need your presence. I need your spirit. I need your power. Folks, think about the power of the Spirit of God. The strong east wind that came and separated a sea. That the children of Israel could walk through on dry land. I want that. I need that today. Whenever that hard thing comes, when that thing comes that overwhelms me, that thing that wants to destroy my faith and take away my courage, I want that grace and that power to be able to stand in those times that I might be found faithful. Lord, I don't have any great attainment in this life, but I want to be found faithful. I want the Lord to find me faithful. I want God to be able to say to his son or his son to the father, this man has been faithful. This man has been working on his salvation. This man has been looking for every place in his life that he can find to get rid of anything that would hinder his walk with the Lord. We don't need someone to stand up and tell us all the time, this is wrong, that's wrong, and this is rule and that rule. Folks, if we have a desire and a purpose and intent in our hearts and a desire heavenward towards God, he'll be a very present help in every time of trouble. I found it to be so, and others of you have too. A very present help. I'd like to close with a scripture over here in Nahum. The book of Nahum, one of the minor prophets. I always struggle with it myself. It's right after Micah. Micah, I think, is after Jonah. But anyway, Nahum It says here, Nahum 1 and 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. He's not going to let the wicked off without repentance. But he says, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storms. In your personal storms, folks, in your personal trials, let us be encouraged. Let us be inspired. Let our faith be strong. A little grain of mustard seed, it can grow. And it become the greatest of all, doesn't it? Isn't that what the scripture says? He said, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. I used to love, I'm not much crazy about flying anymore, done a lot of it. But something to set up there and see a plane go through, watch as the plane goes through a set of clouds and all the white and everything around it, just puff. It says here, clouds are the dust of his feet. Folks, this is God. I pray the Lord would help us all to see him in a greater way. I pray the Lord would help us all to see him as a deliverer of all things. Not just the deliverer of our souls, but of all things. Of everything that we meet. It says he rebuketh the sea and make it dry. Dry up of all the rivers. He made it dry for the children of Israel, didn't he? Bashan languisheth and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake in him and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire and the rocks are thrown down by him. Folks, when I read scriptures like this, and I think about people that I've talked to, poor souls, out there even today, that are not willing to forgive, they're not willing to let go. When I think about family feuds, fighting one against another, when I think of all the things, fathers against the sons, and mothers against the daughters, and I see it out there. It's out there today. And all these things that they want to hold on and harbor, and hold on to, and how foolish that is when we come into the presence of God. None of that, the scripture says, is even remembered in the grave. All of that. We leave that all behind, but we will give an account, won't we, of the deeds done in this body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And then the seventh verse of where we're looking here, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those that trust in him. You trust in the Lord today? You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? That's the way Jesus said to love him. He knows you. He knows you. He knoweth them that trust in him. Let's not trust in man. The scripture says not trust in man or trust in horses or the power of anything here on earth, but trust in the living God, the God that has all power in heaven and earth. I thank the Lord this morning for a God that cares, a God that loves. But he cautioned me. He said, be still and know that I am God. I don't know of any time in my life where I've ever been a success when I got all excited and got all fretting and got all built up in myself where I was able to work out anything successfully. But I want to, in all my ways, acknowledge him and let him direct my path. You pray for me.